Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
I have a title for my message this morning, and the title is Developing a Close, Personal Relationship with God. Do you know anybody who might say, oh, I know God. Oh, I know there is a God. But yet, they don't have that personal relationship with God. Maybe you're here this morning. Yeah, I know there's a God. But do you have a personal relationship with Him? Well, I'm going to start out by getting real personal with you this morning. And it has to do with a couple who fall in love and get married. Anybody ever experienced that? Or just get married? The personal thing I want to share with you, I do not believe in love at first sight when it comes to adults meeting one another. Sorry, I don't believe that. Now, when I met my wife, Sabina, for the first time, it was not love at first sight. It was more something like this. Whoa, man, is she beautiful? But it was not love at first sight. But I do believe in love at first sight. I want you to know that. It happened to me for the first time when I was in the hospital and the nurse handed me my little baby girl named Rachel. I'm here to tell you, it was love at first sight and commitment at first sight. It's like you get married and there's a level of love and you have children and there's another level. And then when my first grandchild was handed to me, I'm here to tell you, it was love at first sight and a commitment at first sight. And those of you who are here and you have children or grandchildren, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And if you don't have children yet, someday you'll understand that. There's another level. Well, Jesus was always trying to get his followers, his disciples, to go to another level. And that level is from the physical realm to a higher spiritual realm. One day, Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do the people say that I am?" And Peter walks up and says, "Well, you are Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus goes, "Peter, you are a pebble. But upon this stone mountain, this rock cliff," Jesus was pointing to himself, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." But he says to Peter, "You know, Peter, this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood in the physical realm of life. This came from my Father in heaven. A spiritual revelation was upon you, Peter." But now, did Peter at that moment have a close personal relationship with Jesus? The answer is no. He knew Jesus as the Son of God, but he still wasn't close and personal with Jesus. Let's take a closer look at the words of Peter this morning. You know, when a child starts walking, they walk all over the place, don't they? Walk around the house, they walk out the door, they walk to school, they walk to the park, they walk to high school, they walk to college, they walk down the aisle, and guess what? They walk out of your life. But that doesn't mean you don't still have a close personal relationship. Sometimes they don't come back, but then we know that you're still personal and close with them. Well, God wants us to have a close personal relationship with him. And it is Peter in this reading who helps us understand that. Come along with me once again as I look at these words along with you. This is what Peter says, blessed. A blessing is an acknowledgement of where all the good things come from in our life. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Just like physically we get up and we walk and we're mobile, it's the same thing in the physical world that we live in. Oh, we can acknowledge the physical, but do you acknowledge the spiritual? Spiritually, we can get up and walk and draw near to God or walk away from him. It is Peter who says, let me tell you three things about your spiritual walk that'll draw you nearer or closer to God. Number one is the walk of hope with him, the walk of inheritance with him, and the walk of power with him. You see, when it comes to life, you know this, if you don't have hope, it's not worth living. If you don't have hope, you can get very depressed in this world and then in this life. And that is never more seen than at a funeral. When someone dies, maybe you've been to those funerals where there is no hope. It's very depressing. They're grieving and mourning, but where's the hope? But when you go to a funeral where somebody knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and they have hope in the resurrection, wow, there is a big difference. They grieve, they mourn, but yet they can smile. They can get through that because they know, just like physically a caterpillar will become a butterfly, they know spiritually and physically that someday we will die and go to heaven. Why? Because of Jesus Christ who rose from the dead. Let's go back to Peter. Peter is the one who wrote this book, right? And before the cross, okay, it's the Lenten season. We're going on a journey for 40 days to the cross. Before the cross, you know who Peter was? A coward. He denied Jesus three times. He called down curses from heaven upon himself. But then something happened. You see, he had hope. I'll make you fishers of men. And oh, he was so happy. But then that hope died when Jesus died. Remember those disciples in Emmaus walking? And Jesus disguised himself so they didn't know who he was. And he said, what's wrong? He says, well, we had hoped that Jesus was the one. And then Jesus took him through scripture and said, isn't this what the scripture said about the Son of Man, that he would die and rise on the third day? And all of a sudden something happened in their lives. See, before the cross, after the cross, Peter was not a coward. He was courageous. He did not fear anymore. He was fearless. And he went out and preached the gospel and shared the good news. And he was martyred for his faith in Jesus Christ. What happened to him? He was walking with the resurrected Lord. He was born again. You know, Nicodemus wanted to get close to Jesus. And he said, Jesus, I know you're from heaven. Jesus said, now listen, if you want to get close to me, you have to be born again. And Nicodemus, physical, crawl back into my mother's womb. No, Jesus said, you have to be born from above. You have to be born through water and the Spirit. This is something I do for you. You can't do it on your own. Listen to how Peter says it. According to his mercy, he has caused us to be born again, born from above to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, when Jesus Christ walked on earth, I'm telling you, he made some incredible claims. He said this, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever lives and believes in me will live even though he dies. And if he lives and believes in me, he will never die. Whoa! Who else has ever said anything like that? Jesus said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except through me. There's a lot of truths in this world. There is a lot of ways that the world wants to guide you and lead you. But there's only one way, Jesus says, one truth, and it's me. That's a big claim. Then Jesus said this, if you hear my words and believe in the one who has sent me, you have eternal life. You will not be judged. You have crossed from death to life. You are a caterpillar who's going to become a butterfly. And then he says this, do you believe this? That's what it means to be born again. All of a sudden, there's more to life than the physical realm. Now, for me, I was born again the day I was baptized. For some of you, it's the day you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You notice the difference. For some of you, it's a process like with Peter. It took a while. But eventually he got there with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What's that step? Drawing closer to our God, living in the hope of the resurrection. What else is there? Let's go to step number two, you might say, verse 4, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. You know, everything you have, your car, your clothes, is fading away. The Bible tells us that everything is defiled in our world and will be gone and dissolve someday. Do you realize that? It's a law of science, thermodynamics. But there is something that can never be defiled, can never perish. It's your life in heaven. And it's everything in heaven awaiting you. That's why Jesus said, store up things in heaven where moth and rust cannot destroy. Who is he talking about? You? Your children? People you know? Yeah. It's an inheritance that God gives to us. And when you walk and live in that inheritance and that hope, it changes your life. You live differently. You know, yeah, this physical. Imagine a caterpillar going, oh, a butterfly saying, I wish I could be a caterpillar again. No. When we get to heaven, we're never going to go back or want to go back. It's going to be a new, great life. So how do you draw near to God? Close personal relationship. Walk in your new life and that hope you have. Okay, always think about your inheritance. Heaven is my home. I'm just a pilgrim here. And then in verse 5, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Do you realize it's God who guards you? It is God who gives you power to get through this life and all the things you face. You don't do that yourself. God says, let me help you. Because if you try to do it yourself, you'll mess it up. Did you hear about the woman who got her concealed and carry to protect and guard herself? Yeah, she got a gun, all right. She put it in her purse. She was so proud. For 3 months, she carried her gun and she felt safe. Then she came out of Walmart one day, came up to her car, and there were two men in her car. What do you do? She reached for her gun. She aimed the gun at the car and said, get out! The two men in the car looked at her like she was crazy. She said, get out or I'll shoot. Doors flung open. They slammed the doors and ran off. She was so upset. These men who did that right in Walmart. She turned around, grabbed her key fob, was going to tell the manager. And when she hit it, a row over, three cars down, same make, same color, same model, went beep. She found her car. Yeah. And she won't mess it up. When we try to take all things into our hands, God says, let go. Let me. I will guard your faith. I will guard you because I work for the good of everyone who loves me. Let me be the one in charge. I'm God, you're not. That's what Peter is trying to say to us. Listen to these words. In this, trusting God, letting God, you rejoice. Though for a little while, if necessary, I'm going to say this all about you and me, it is necessary. You have been grieved by various trials. Ever had a trial? Ever gone through a difficult, dark time in your life? Have you ever wondered why? It's for your own good. Let me say that again. If you're going through a difficult time right now in your life, it's for your own good. When you trust God. Listen to how he says this. So that tested genuineness of your faith, your faith is more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire. If you understand to purify gold, you got to put it through fire. You understand that your faith, God wants it to get stronger. He wants to draw you closer to himself, so he will test it and give you trials and tribulations. God does not tempt. But God will test your faith. God may allow the devil to even test you. Why? Because he knows that if you go through it while you walk with him in hope and with that inheritance, you will come out stronger. Remember Abraham, where God tested his faith, asked him to sacrifice his own son. Do you think after that he was closer to God or farther away? Moses, when he was so fed up with these people who built a golden calf, and God said, I'm just ready to go. God said, keep going. You think he was stronger because of that or weaker? He was stronger. Think about in your life when you've gone through a tough time. And when you turn to God, you become stronger. When you walk away from God, you will become weaker. He's always going to test you. In fact, Peter again and again says it. It is the will of God that he tests you. If you have your Bible open, 1 Peter 3:17. Look at these words. 1 Peter 3:17. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. Now look at chapter 4, verse 19. Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful God while doing good. Why? Because it'll draw you closer to God, not farther away, when you let go and let God. Now, Job was tempted. Job was tested. Abraham, Moses, Joseph being thrown in prison. You think he was closer to God because of that or farther away? Faith that is not tested is faith that can't be trusted. And God knows that. Let me tell you a story about my life. I've shared it in past. My daughter brings Jacob to my home, and Jacob, new house, on vacation, just was irritable. He was probably 5 years old. He went to the dirt pile, grabbed two hands of dirt, and headed toward my swimming pool. And I said, Jacob, put the dirt down. Jacob, if you put it in the swimming pool, Opa's going to spank you. I got him and I spanked him. The Lord disciplines those he loves. There's a reason to draw you closer, because it's a course correction. Trials and tribulations, if necessary, it's a course correction. Now, my daughter and my wife were so mad at me, and I spanked my grandson, but that boy was right next to me for the next 4 days he was there. He wouldn't leave my side. He would hug my leg. He drew nearer to me, and I drew nearer to him. May, through trials and tribulations and difficulties in life, we become closer to God. And we may be found in the result in praise and glory, Peter says, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now notice this. Here's that other level I told you I don't believe in love at first sight, except when my children were handed to me and my grandchildren. Do you realize there's another level that goes beyond that? It's a spiritual level. Listen to how Peter describes it. Though you have not seen him, you love him. It's love without sight, without seeing. Though you do not now see him, I'm going to say you soon will, or you will see him in heaven. You believe in him. You trust in him. You let go and let him take care of your life and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible. You can't explain it. It's just a joy in your life just for living because you have a hope. You know God personally. Even though you don't see him, you believe and love him and are filled with glory. Verse 9, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your soul. This is how Peter describes it. Born again. You're either going to be born once and die twice, or you're going to be born twice and die once. Everybody's in that. See, if you're born once physically, and you're not born spiritually, you remain a caterpillar. You will die twice. The first is physical death. You will die. And that's not the worst. The second death is a spiritual death. You will never see God or never see Jesus Christ. You'll never go to heaven. That's a spiritual death. But if you're born twice in this world, physically, given to your mom and your dad, and you're born, and you're born a second time that God caused the first time and he'll cause the second time through word and sacrament, like baptism, the reading of God's word. You're born a second time. And you only die once after that. It's the physical death. You will never die a spiritual death because you'll be with Jesus Christ, the creator of heaven and earth, forever and ever in eternity. Oh, wow. That's what Peter is trying to share with us. Where are you in your walk with Christ? Take hold of that second birth. If you're not born again, you know, you can ask him. You can say, Lord, I want to be born again. You can. And when you're born again and you see more than the physical world and then you see the spiritual, walk in that hope and that inheritance and know he will give you the power to go through anything you face in life. You know, we all celebrate birthdays, right? And in Christian realm, sometimes we celebrate a baptism as a new birth. But when we celebrate a birthday, we usually sing this, right? You've heard it. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Peter. Happy birthday to you. Well, Dr. Spomer and Connie have introduced a new song to us. Some of you already know it. I know that, but they introduced it to me, and I love them for it. And it goes like this. Happy birthday to you, although one will not do. Born again means salvation. We're so glad you had to. You can say, hey, Peter, we're so glad you had to. And Peter would agree. He says, oh, you better believe I've had to. My prayer is that you will. Amen.